This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Don't all clap at once, will you? So hang on. We're going again. It's been 707 days. Come on. Right, just right now, go. Thank you. Honestly. It's come to this. I have to beg for applause. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you. Welcome to the first ever live edition of the Neil Reynolds podcast. Do I want to do that thing where I ask who listens? No, I might get offended. Does anyone listen? Thank you. All right, good, good. So we've got some special guests. Producer Gary. Producer Gary, if you listen, is there? Yeah, look, you're Martin's genuinely excited. Someone's genuinely excited to see you, Gary. Gets more cheers than I do. Honestly, got more cheers than I did. So we're going to bring out our special guests. We got two guests with us this evening. Our first guest is now in his 10th season in the NFL. Yep, that's you, Jack. back home in London from the Arizona Cardinals, defensive lineman Jack Crawford. Anyone there, Jack? Actually, I'm going up this end. I've got your mic. That's yours. Oh, now that's awkward now, isn't it? COVID and all that. I have this one. Come and get this one, Jack. I've messed it all up. You stay there. Our next guest is a two-time Super Bowl champion. He's an All-Pro. He was an All-Pro when he played. And, you know, he's a great hero from Germany. He did play for the Patriots, so there's quite a lot of Dolphins fans in here. But give him a warm welcome. Please welcome Sebastian Vollmer. Welcome. In the middle. Man in the middle. That one I haven't touched. I managed to touch everything else on the table and all the microphones. Apart from that, we're good. Right, so we've got two very special guests with us this evening. We were going to have a third guest, but he couldn't quite make it. Maurice Jones-Drew couldn't make it. And I felt he needed to explain to you why. So let's have a look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did have a special guest lined up for tonight's live version of the Neil Reynolds podcast, but there was a schedule clash. All-Pro running back Maurice Jones-Drew, where are you going?
First of all, is your podcast named after you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, is that bad?
That's kind of bad. It should have been called like something else.
What it says on the tin then.
What's the tip?
Well, you get like the Rich Eisen podcast, so there you got the Neil Reynolds. No, that's too much, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty. I like it though.
It was a bold move, and I feel like I'm a season in now. It's too late to change.
No question. And I apologize. There is.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at a dinner party.
Going to need more than that. Where are you going to be?
The London Bridge dinner party.
Wow.
Right around the London Bridge. A little on, probably on the river,
a nice
boat, or what you may call a yacht.
Okay.
A ship.
Very good. I appreciate the apology.
I do apologize.
But I think it's that way,
to the people. Listen, I would love to be here. I got invited on a special occasion. And it's only this occasion that wouldn't allow me to be here with you. But to the billions and billions of Jaguar fans around the world, I apologize. I hope you guys enjoy Sebastian. He's a wonderful, delightful human being. He got yelled at a lot while he was in the NFL, so you can ask him those questions if you like. But for me, I'll be gone probably eating like caviar and whatever fancy stuff that people eat here.
We had some sandwiches backstage. You could have come and had a sandwich.
Yeah, sandwiches ain't going to be good enough for me. It's kind of like the Neil Reynolds podcast.
It's not good enough for you.
It's kind of like the food for me. That sandwich is not good enough. I don't even have a podcast that has my name on it, I don't think. I'm not that special.
You don't have that bigger ego.
Yeah, I just don't have the. My ego is more in food. We're going to have the fanciest of foods.
We will miss you.
I miss you too. That's why I wanted to come stop by and say hello and give you a hug.
All right.
We got to make sure we get all the billions. Let me say this to the people for you. Make sure you guys follow, subscribe, whatever you have to do to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
You got it.
I'm still trying to figure out why is it Neil Reynolds, but we'll get there. But billions, do what you do around the world. Gather together. Let's hold them up high in the highest of regard of podcast.
And watch me on Channel 5.
Watch me on Channel 5, yes. Excuse me. On Channel 5, Monday night, football. You already know. The billions know about it. That's where we all started. But yes.
Good stuff.
So there he is. Can't be with us. I have many questions off the back of that. Like, why didn't we get invited onto Shahid Khan's yacht? No one want to even venture a guess. It's annoying, right?
It's Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean...
That's a fair point.
It's not us. It's not us. It's that easy.
I mean, we're more genuine humans. Yeah, you know? Like, we're more down to earth.
Man of the people.
We're going to come, you know, talk to the real fans who stuck it out from day one.
You know, Jack, that's
it. Maurice Jones-Drew, he'll change up on you in a heartbeat, man.
Obviously.
He's going to the yacht. As soon as he sees a bigger yacht, he's going to jump to that one.
Be gone.
For him, yeah, he's got no loyalty, man. He's talks about Jaguar fans, but he's really just about himself. Don't worry.
Billions of Jaguars fans. That was ambitious, but yeah, we won't go into that. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's great to have the Neil Reynolds podcast now live. Thank you to NFL Game Pass for being the sponsor this year and for supporting it, for allowing us to do things like this. And I know you guys all, like I do, use Game Pass all the time, which is fantastic. So we're going to get your involvement as well. So we're going to have questions from you throughout the night. But on the podcast, we talk about players' journeys through growing up, through college, through the NFL, so we'll do some of that as well. Who is it? Who is it on the phone? Is it the wife? You got to go. It's Maurice Jones-Drew.
It's from the dinner party. Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh no, we don't need that. Are they coming? If they change their jersey, they can come in. Sorry. So, Jack, how's it feel to be back? Have you enjoyed being around the London games? And of course, we get another one to enjoy on Sunday.
Man, it's a real treat, man. It's excellent, and just to see how far the game has come along in England since my time in the league and my time away from home, it's special. I've never had the chance to come back at this time in year. I've always been playing. Being injured this year, being able to come home. I've never been to an NFL game as a fan before. So last Sunday was a real treat, man. I got to see some of my former teammates. And, it was special to come to my first NFL game here at Tottenham Stadium.
Sebastian, for you, coming to London, you played in London. Of course, you had a great game against Jacksonville, didn't you? You had a sack and a few tackles there against the Jags with the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was my first... I like to say it was my first real sack. I mean, it was my second sack statistically, but my first sack was on a punter, so on a fake punt. I don't really count that one, you know. So that was my first real sack, was here on Blake Bortles in Wembley Stadium. And I like to think that was fate right there, you know, a sack in front of my family and my hometown, you know.
I wonder who turned out to be the better passer, the punter or Blake Bortles? Should put it to the audience. No. Probably not.
I'm not going near that one.
Sebastian, you played a couple of times here, and obviously it's great to have you in town, and hopefully we'll all be in your country soon enjoying a game as well. It's just good to have you back. Did you enjoy playing in London?
I did. My rookie year, 2009, we played against Tampa Bay. It was a great experience. We stayed all week, which, looking back, was probably a mistake. I mean, you don't want to bring, you know, 60, 70 guys in here and have a good time in London before a game. So we did stay the night, and it was a... Some guys looked rough after, but we had a good time. Second time we played, we arrived on a Friday, I believe, and it's just like practice in, you know, then you're in game mode, and we did stay the night again, which, double mistake. But anyways, you know, don't bring a bunch of Americans that have left the country for the first time into a different city. But it was great. The games were good. We won both of them, so that was always good. But,
did they give you a curfew when you came here?
So before the game, we had a curfew. After the game, we did not.
But what about, so how long, Like in the week leading up to the game.
I had a curfew every night.
A curfew every night? Yeah, see, we had a curfew every night leading up to the game.
How did that go?
So, yeah.
How well observed.
The first night, I missed it barely. It was the tube system that messed me up, man.
Of course,
It was coming back. You know, I don't have to explain it, but yeah, I paid that.
You kind of do. You started this story.
So yeah, but that was the first one. I barely missed the curfew. You know, you get fined. So the fine, they happen to give. They just threw a number out there. So they cut us a break. They gave us $1,000 fine for missing the curfew. So, whatever. I paid that one off. I was just blamed it on spending time with family. The second time...
It was the tube just a minute ago.
Well, you know, it was really my fault because I should have known better that the tube was going to, you know, mess me up. But so the second time, I blame my friends, man. I got caught up on the other side of town and, you know, I tried to get the money back from my friends, but they obviously stopped returning my messages after that. And then the last time.
Is this all in the same week?
Yeah.
I'm home. This was my first time coming home to play a football game. So that was my justification. The third time... We do a group dinner, so we do a defensive line dinner every week, and you know, every week somebody else in the group will pay for dinner at the end of the night. And obviously, being in London, they chose this week to be my week, and so we go to, I believe, STK, where they have a where they have a rooftop bar, and so now we're out. You know, a couple guys on the defensive line like to get a couple drinks in with dinner. And once you get a couple drinks in, people don't like to stop. That's the thing with football players.
Then you're out.
Yeah, then you're out. And when you get a bunch of young football players in London, you know, it's hard to try to bargain with them to come and get back by curfew. It's hard to try and control these guys. So it hits like... 11:30, you know, 11:35, and I'm like, it hits a point where I'm like, there's just no way we're going to get back before 12. So at that point, you might as well just enjoy the night. So, you know, it was about 3 o'clock, we come rolling back into the hotel. We tried to put our hoods off and run into the hotel and get to our room. But there's security guards looking for everybody's identity because they'd want to know exactly who to find. And, we tried to disguise ourselves, but, you know, when your paycheck comes, you can still see the deduction taken out of it. So, we didn't get away with that one.
Sebastian, is there any small part of you that's sitting there thinking, well, I won 2 Super Bowls, but if I'd have been on that team where we missed curfew 3 nights running, a little bit?
I mean, it does sound fun. But, I mean, I think Bill would have sent us home. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Who's head coach then? Jason Garrett?
It was Jason Garrett, okay. Yeah.
Nice guy.
And nice guy. You know what? I will say, winning is fun. And I'm sure winning Super Bowls...
Partying is more fun?
I'm sure winning Super Bowls is even more fun. But it's the small things like staying out and partying with your friends that you carry with you forever after your season, after your career, that you really miss and that you cherish. And... I'll leave it at that.
That's perfect. So it's like a badge of honor. You don't get a ring, you get a badge of honor.
We still talk about that night to this day. You know, a Super Bowl is great, but when we talk about hitting London and hitting the rooftop, like having bottle service, and you know what I mean? That's what brings us closer together.
Fantastic.
I feel like I wasted a whole career.
Yeah, you missed it. Like,
didn't know the other side existed.
You filled the man with regret teammates. Now. He's an all-pro, 2-time champion.
I'm sorry. If only we were teammates, I could have... put you on the right direction.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Unbelievable.
Let's talk a little bit about your early years then. So, Sebastian, for you, when did you start playing in Germany? When did you get into the sport?
I was about 16 or 17. Pretty late. I mean, I was a swimmer, soccer player, all those things, but actual football, not until 17.
So our friend, Jeff Reinbold, who still works with me on Sky Sports, and we were recording a podcast today, which actually Jeff was in bed for. Jeff was sitting in bed recording this podcast.
I hope this was not on video, right?
It was. Well, I saw it, unfortunately. Luckily, it's an audio podcast, but I had to see it. It was on Zoom. It wasn't a pretty sight. So if you kind of think like Ric Flair after a bad night out.
Wow. but 3 a.m., we know how that goes.
Or a good night out. A good night out. But Jeff said that he spotted you or saw you. I don't know how true this story is. He said you were a swimmer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've had many conversations with Jeff since then. Did it ever occur to you to ask Jeff what he was doing hanging around swimming pools looking at boys?
Well, the problem is I didn't know.
He was looking at you.
He was in the hall. No, I actually got to know him. He was my offensive coordinator for the Team Europe.
Yep.
So I think it was 18-ish. So they had an All-Star team that played. So Europe played against the States, Canada, Mexico, yeah, and Japan. It was called the Global Junior Championships. And he was the offensive coordinator for that.
I was there in Barcelona
when
he made you stand up at the back of the room.
I remember that.
And told all the other guys in the room, if you carry any fat on you, it's wasted. You need to look like this. And then made him stand up at the back of the room and body shame everyone else.
So awkward. Like, you're 17 years old. They're like, I don't know, 19-year-old bodybuilders next to you. And you're just like, meh. All right, cool.
How much did it help you going through Team Europe and then getting that exposure, which a little bit later on we'll talk about your college career, but did that, being able to represent Europe, did that help, do you think?
It did. I think at some point, like in Europe, you know, you kind of... when you're the best on your team, like competition kind of gets not as tough, I would say.
Yep.
So when you then get into this All-Star teams, I mean, I remember there was a Swedish guy, and he was so big. I mean, right. He wanted to run me over, and I mean, I struggled with him. But it's like, finally, you get people that, you know, really challenge you, and, you know, you now got to know, I got to step up my game, and you got to maybe put on some weight, and all those things. Like, all of a sudden, your eyes are being opened, and then it did prepare me, you know, for college a little bit.
What about you, Jack? Obviously, basketball was your thing. Were you even aware of the NFL early on, or?
Not really, man. No. Yeah, I wasn't. It wasn't really a thought in my head. I was so focused on basketball, and I played a lot of sports growing up. You know, my dad, he's from Trinidad, and he made me play cricket. I grew up playing English football with my friends. I played rugby at North Finchley. I boxed a little bit. I did everything, man. And then I kind of narrowed my focus down on basketball. And, you know, I went on to play for the England under-16s and under-18s team. And from that point forward, I started to get more interest in the States. And, you know, I had hoop dreams going over to the States. And I didn't, you know, I was so focused on basketball that, you know, like Sebastian said, I didn't get into football until I was really 17 years old. And, yeah, that was it, really.
What about when you got out there? How did that process? So you're in a prep school.
Yeah.
And then how do you go from basketball to football? How did that happen?
So when I originally got out there, it was my sophomore year in high school. I was 16 years old. Starting this prep school for the basketball team. And, you know, we would have practice after school, but then after practice, they would, later in the day on Fridays, they would have the high school football games. And because the host family I was living with, the son played for the junior varsity high school football team, I would sit behind and I would wait and watch the games. And then, you know, I still didn't know the rules, but I just watched the game. And I watched, you know, the kids I knew in school play on the football team. And, yeah, I thought to myself, I could do this, man. You know, I grew up, I played rugby. I wasn't scared of the physical part. I wasn't scared of getting hit, and I wasn't scared of hitting people. So, yeah, I thought that this was something I could do. It looked fun. It didn't conflict with the basketball schedule. And so, yeah, I kind of the coach kind of was begging me to come out for the team. I decided, why not? You know, what have I got to lose? So I went out for the team. He said, what position do you want to play? He just gave me a choice. He said, listen, you come on the field, just pick your position. So I said, I want to play wide receiver. And he goes, nah, you got to play both ways.
You can pick
and
another position.
Yeah, he goes, just pick a position except for quarterback. And I said, all right, well, then I'll play wide receiver because I wanted the glory, man. I wanted it, you know. And so he said, well, you got to play both ways. And he suggested defensive end. And it, you know what? Offense, playing wide receiver came a lot more natural to me than playing defensive end. I was built as a defensive end, but running and catching the ball was natural to me. Kind of hitting and tackling, getting low, tracing the ball, taking on blocks, playing with my hands, that doesn't come natural to a basketball player. And I lined up offsides every play. I didn't know what a sack was. You know, I didn't get in a three-point stance till I got to college. So, yeah, I was standing up like Khalil Mack on the edge. Like, I was about to get take off, and I end up just waiting for the ball to cross the line of scrimmage and run backwards. So, yeah, I was...
making it up.
Just making it up, man. But they saw potential. I pretty much played almost every play of the game. I mean, I was wide receiver. I played every special teams. Yeah, man, breaking all the rules.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they saw the potential there, and it paid off.
Did you play? Did you play tight end and tackle growing up, or were you always an offensive?
So player? I didn't have a choice. It was like, you're a tackle. I was like, yeah, what is that? I don't know what that means. So I went to the library and got Football for Dummies. Right?
Was like, oh, really?
Book series. Yep. I was like, tackle. What is that? Oh, okay, cool. So I went to Holland, like to the Netherlands, to get some football stuff, like, you know, your pads and all that stuff, because in Germany they didn't have it. Schopek, I was like, okay, I'm a tackle. But kind of like him, like, I don't know what that means. Like, how do I stand? Like, which hand is in the ground? I had no idea. Later on, I became a defensive end as well. Well, it's kind of like, you know, you're 6'8 and yep, 250 pounds, like that. Do something. Why did you just go out there? I mean, you're 19, this tall, like, you know, you're playing against a 15-year-old, you know, 5'9. And I was like, he cut me one time. I told him, you do this one more time, I'm going to break your leg. He's like, oh, shit. So, anyways, he didn't do that anymore. But no, I don't know. The whole tight end thing didn't come until college.
It was college, really, yeah.
I guess we get to that later, but yeah, it was really kind of like the third tackle on the field. Like, let's be honest. It is, you know, well, the body back then, at least. You wouldn't have caught anything.
Wasn't where it needed to be. We're going to take some of your questions after this short break on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
This is Ryan Jensen, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Producer Gary here. Sorry to be interrupting you, but this will only take a moment as it's an important message that we tend to have at this stage of the podcast. So I hope you're enjoying this live edition of the Neil Reynolds Podcast, which was recorded at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars facing off with the Miami Dolphins in the final NFL London game of 2021. Now, everyone who attended this live recording is a subscriber to NFL Game Pass, who, as you know by now, are the presenting partner of the Neil Reynolds Podcast throughout the 2021 season. NFL Game Pass offers so much content throughout the regular season, into the playoffs, close season, and of course the off-season. There's NFL originals, including Hard Knocks, while subscribers also get to watch live red zone action every week. And don't forget, every episode from season 2 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast is available to watch for free on NFL Game Pass right now. So head over to NFLGamePass.com and sign up so you don't miss out. Now I'm just going to pass back to Neil, who we know is trying to take center stage, trying but failing to take the spotlight from our esteemed guests. So Neil, back to you, mate.
Welcome back. So we've got a microphone and some hand wipes. So we're all across it. So if anyone's got questions for the guys, gentleman in the Cowboys who was on the rooftop bar with Jack that night, he doesn't really remember much about it, but.
Yeah, I have been to the rooftop bar. It's very good.
No, I think I remember seeing you on the other table over.
I wasn't there.
Don't
night.
Worry. I won't mention anything else about that night either.
It is a question for Jack. Obviously, you've played for a number of different teams in the NFL, but from what I always see is the Cowboys polarise one way or the other opinions, and watching Skip and Shannon and A. Smith, and people either really hate the Cowboys or they love them. But having played for them, how was it different for playing for the other teams that you've played for?
Oh, man, there's nothing like playing for the Cowboys, man. So I was coming into my third year. I had just been waived by the Oakland Raiders in my third training camp. And luckily, the Cowboys picked me up right away. So I didn't, you know, go too long without a job. But I had to pick up and leave to come to the Cowboys in like 24 hours. So I get there and honestly, it was night and day. Coming from where the Oakland Raiders were at the time and coming to the Cowboys, I felt like this was a real organization. I mean, just the way their structure and the way they had everything together was, it felt like a complete team. As far as the fan base goes, you know, as soon as you join the Cowboys, your phone, you just get your notification. You have to basically turn off notifications on your phone because you just get all the, everybody in Dallas saying, oh man, once a Cowboy, always a Cowboy, and whatever, you know, or we them boys and all the chance they got, you know. And I was like, whatever, bro. I'm just trying to focus on keeping my job, you know. That's great, you know. Whatever, I'm just trying to earn a paycheck. And yeah, it was the Cowboys was a different experience, man. I mean, I've got some stories about just how the Cowboys are set up. But everywhere you travel, you will have fans everywhere. I mean, that's the best part of playing for the Cowboys was actually playing in the away games. Because when you go to other cities across America, like, the Cowboys fans always outnumber the home team fans. They travel well, and they're waiting for you. As soon as you get off the plane, they're looking at you. And I mean, all they do, they show up just to watch you walk from the plane to the team bus and take pictures of you standing 50 yards away. And I'm thinking, like, what are these? Don't these guys have work? Like, does anybody work out here? Like, everybody, they're diehard fans. But I appreciate it, you know, especially after leaving. And when we traveled and we won, Jerry Jones would, we would have two beers waiting on every seat when we go back to the plane. Oh, so, nice. You know, it was, it was a treat, man. It was a party, it was a show, but we had to win. And there's nothing like playing for the Cowboys when you're winning, man. It definitely, like, jump-started. It breathed new life into my career. And as far as my career goes, I would say the best memories I have and the closest team I've ever been on was that with the Cowboys.
Sebastian, after a win for the Patriots, you get back on the plane. What's on your seat?
Did I get back on the plane? Yeah, where else are we going to go? We had all salmon, some broccoli.
He got the scouting report for the next
team.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, test. You already get like, yelled at. You know, you got that little TV in here, in the back, and you're just like, yeah, look at that, what you did, like Bill circling, look at that. Yeah. Like,
you got your grade.
Speakerphone, he's telling you, oh, it's wrong. It's like, hey, if you want 59-0, no. Yes. Well, anyway, no.
All right.
But like, drinking was encouraged over there. We're like, but the carbs, it's recovery. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, you know what? It's just, it was fun, man. You know, we like to have fun. Jerry likes to treat his players like adults, and take him up on that.
Take him
challenge.
Up. All right, good stuff. Another question. Anyone else got a question? Gentleman in the Khalil Mack jersey, then in the front.
This question for both of you. The term game wrecker gets thrown around quite a lot. Someone who can just take over a game by themselves. Is there anyone in your careers that you've had to kind of prepare extra for, just so that you don't kind of get embarrassed by, or just so you feel intimidated by, sort of thing?
Sebastian, you want to start us off with that?
There are plenty, really. I mean, Khalil Mack, the guy was kind of getting out of the league when he just kind of started. He was probably not as good then as he is now. I mean, he's just kind of unblockable. Devon Miller. My first career start was against Dwight Freeney. Mm. Whoever remembers him. So, you know, I'm a rookie. Well, starting left tackle gets hurt, and I'm the backup, right? I'm a swing guy. I was like, okay, you're in it. And, I mean, you can feel, they didn't say it, but you can feel the panic in the building. It's like the officer coordinator goes, like, hey, you good? You good? Everything fine? Yeah? How do you feel? Give you 100%. Yeah, that's not going to be good enough. So, I'm like, oh, okay, great. Anyways, we had a good game. It worked out. But the one good thing about the Patriots, like, they take care of that guy. Like, that's always your number one weapon, and they're going to take care of that. If it's, mean, you know, two guys blocking him, if it's a receiver, you double coverage, whatever it is. Like, beep him with your second or third choice. But, you know, Von Miller is one of those.
So, yeah, I think, like, game wrecker is definitely a defensive term. Like, when I hear game wrecker, because...
That's what you think, yeah.
The offensive guys, they're the smart ones. They got a plan. They got a game. And like Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until you get punched in the face. And that's a game wrecker. And I see an Aaron Donald jersey over there. That's a game wrecker. Khalil Mack, that's a game wrecker. These people that you can plan for all week. But when you're on the field, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And... I mean, fortunately, I'm not in your position where I have to block some of these guys. So, that's definitely, it's a problem when you meet them.
Absolutely. Another question, anyone? Anyone else got a question? Gentleman with the white hat on. My mate Martin, this is...
Oh, it's not a gentleman, is it?
No, it's not a gentleman. Definitely not. This has been recorded, so...
Yeah. I know,
be good.
It's a sort of double question. First of all, you, Jack. How do you think your rugby training has influenced your career? You said you played all these sports, but the rugby, especially with the tackling side of it. And secondly, it was sort of more aimed at MJD, who's not here. How would you feel playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the moment?
Sebastian, would you like that hot potato landing right on your lap? Answer that one.
It's tough. I mean, I think it doesn't matter who you play for. If you don't win, that's tough. It's like, I mean, you're the reason why not, right? So it's like, you take that. I'm avoiding what you're trying to get, by the way.
Yeah.
And
what a pro.
So, good. You know, hey, you don't dictate the question. You dictate the answer.
Exactly. It's your answer. Right? It's your answer. Right?
So, yeah, you just want to win, Jack.
So, back to your rugby question.
Oh, yes, swerve. Swerve.
I think it did help, but they're two different games. So, in rugby, I think the one thing that carries over is just the physical aspect of the sport. You know, some people, they make it all the way to the NFL, but they're still scared to get hit. It shows up on tape, but they're just tremendous athletes that they can play this sport. In rugby, you always are tackling at an angle. Well, generally, you're tackling at an angle because the game goes side to side. In the NFL, it's blunt force. It's head on head. And there was definitely a learning curve that I had to get over, even up until when I was in the league with tackling. And when I played rugby here, I was just bigger than everybody else. When I got to the league, it was a different story. And, back to you, Neil.
Thanks. Look at that. They're throwing back to me now. It's like a couple of pros. We'll take a few more questions a little bit later on. We are going to play a little game now, fellas, called Finish That Sentence. So I did brief the guys backstage as to what was going to be in the run of show, but they haven't seen any of these. I'm going to start an NFL-related sentence, and you are going to finish them. And if there's a story attached... we might ask you for the story as well. So, Sebastian, for you, Tom Brady smells of...
roses.
He does, doesn't he? I bet he does. I bet he smells fantastic.
Tell me about that guy. You know, skin. Like, nah, I don't know. I don't think you want to talk smell in a football locker room. It just doesn't...
No,
it's nothing
not
you really
want
to get into detail.
Let's talk about how driven he is then. Tell me what he's like as a teammate. And does it surprise you what he's doing now?
Not one thing. No. I mean, he is the most competitive guy I've ever met. He is... he tells you beforehand what he's going to do, and he will deliver. Like, if we weren't in the Super Bowl and we were behind, it's like, okay, we're going to score here, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And he's just like, okay.
He's going to
line up and we do it. And that's it. I mean, there is nothing that guy can't do. And I mean, to be fair, he plays a position where, like, well, it's not based on his straight athleticism, right? Like, it's not, he's not going to run away from him, right? I mean, it's just not that. But as long, so he's smart. Well,
Jack's looking like damn straight he's not.
Depends if I just came from the rooftop. Or not,
right? Yeah. But he's certainly, you know, as long as he can, you know, he's so smart. It's like a coach on the field.
Yeah.
And as long as he keeps his arm, I mean, he can play till he's 55. It doesn't matter.
He's certainly going to get to 50. Jack, for you.
Oh, I don't. It's not the same question.
No, you get a different one. But do you have an answer for that?
I had a good answer for that, yeah.
What does he smell of?
Money.
Yeah, he does.
If you're a defensive lineman and you're close to Tom Brady, that equals dollars, right?
Oh, there. For you, yeah.
Yeah, that's money to me.
Your one is quarterback related, Jack. The quarterback who complains the most when you hit him is?
Easy, that's Philip Rivers.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did he?
Yeah. Easy, yeah. He's the most country guy. Never says a swear word. And, yeah, he'll cuss you out until the following play. But, you know, he's like, dang, damn it. And he'll just talk about you. And you're just trying to, like, all right, I just hit him.
Yeah.
You're feeling good about yourself. Why are you still complaining to me? But, yeah, he's easy, man. He complains a lot. You know, it definitely gives you a feel of... I guess joy once you hear him complaining. That's what you want.
Feel like you got him then a bit.
Yeah, definitely. That was, yeah, he's easy, man.
All right. Sebastian, for you, the toughest, maybe you mentioned him, maybe, I don't know, maybe not. You just mentioned blocking some tough defenders. The toughest defender to block was, who was the guy who was like, wow, this is tough?
Von Miller in the end.
Was he, yeah.
Cam Wade, because I saw him so often. He was in Miami, yeah. Some twice a week, and I felt like when we were playing in Miami, we couldn't do anything. Like, we would lose there, and they would lose coming to us.
Yep.
It was the same thing. I think in my scouting report, like, maybe change coaches, offensive line coaches, was like, okay, guys, you can play, can't cut off a backside three, and can't block Cameron Wake in Florida. I was like, that's my scouting report? Like, this is the official description here? But so he was tough. And then Von Miller, when he came into the league, I mean, it was a special guy. And certainly, like, you know, the smaller but so athletic guy. I mean, I was 335 pounds, right? I mean, we're not talking about being nimble and, you know, all those things. It was like brute force, like bull rush me, that's fine. But, you know, they were bendy, and those two were tough.
Jack, the craziest fans in the NFL are...
I want to say Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Philadelphia because that's what Philadelphia fans want me to say.
But Jack, in your defense...
I have to say Philadelphia. No. Actually, I take it back. Buffalo.
Well, hang on. Let me just... On Philadelphia, you could... Then you go with Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Philadelphia, a fan punched a police horse in the face when they won the game to go to the Super Bowl. Why are you picking on a police horse?
Yeah. They're just... They're embarrassing for the sport.
But Buffalo, ketchup and mustard and everything.
I would rather give Buffalo that title of being the craziest fans because Philadelphia fans just don't deserve any title.
Any title.
We left Buffalo on a team bus. There was probably this 80-year-old lady flashing us and giving us the double middle finger. She's like, what is going on in here?
Eastside, that reminds me of my night on the rooftop, man.
One for you, Sebastian. Watching game film with Bill Belichick was
nerve-wracking.
Was it? Does he get into you?
Yes. It's like it depends. So if you're preparing, it's great. When you're watching what you just did,
watching it after
that's not good because he will always. And I mean, that's what makes him so great, right?
Yeah.
So I remember we won 59-0 against Tennessee in 2009. I think it was. Was that snow game and Tom broke all kinds of records, but it just wasn't good enough. Like, we got yelled at for about, I mean, so many things. Now looking back, that was my rookie year, and we just kind of improvised and did our thing. We could do whatever we wanted, essentially. But it wasn't good enough for the next opponent, right? And that's what he's looking at. It's like, this performance against, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, who we lost in the playoffs later on, it's just not going to do it. And so he's so hard, and, you know, there's no, you know, he won't let mistakes slide. It's just like, he will correct you at all times and, you know, makes you better as a player, but it's tough.
Last one for you, Jack. So I'm a really dedicated journalist, Jack. So I do all my research on Wikipedia and just cut and paste. So I'm hoping this is correct. Daniel Radcliffe never got me a part in Harry Potter because, and I'm hoping this is correct. Were you classmates at school?
Yeah. you know, it is what it is. To be honest with you. At the time, I wasn't really a Harry Potter fan. And maybe that was it. When people said that Harry Potter's coming to our school, I didn't think nothing of it because I thought I was the big man on campus.
Yeah, you know? Nah.
And now, you know...
You're like, that's the guy we used to give wedges to and nick your sandwiches.
Yeah, and that's, you know, now I see him on Hollywood billboards. And, you know, I don't know. I think I saw him.
Make it to the NFL. 10 years in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you're the second most... You're beaten out by a wizard, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And that's about it, really. Yeah, he really... I don't like... It's, you know, he always kept me grounded because whenever I was up here, I would just look a little bit higher and I see a billboard with him looking down at me. And so it always kept me grounded, man. No, it was one of those things that looking back on, you know, it was funny to be in class with Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe.
Absolutely.
But he was a normal kid, man. He was a normal kid. I just wonder if I ever ran into him, if he'd remember me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The roof, like... See, nobody remembers anything from the rooftop. It's a blur, you know, between the 8-year-old woman and the... Yeah, I don't want to get into detail. And the
was
fine,
she there now?
The fine and...
This story's been embellished. She's been... The lady from Buffalo turned up at the rooftop. He's been there.
It was a good night.
It was. It sounds like a fantastic night.
It was well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? So you got done for $3,000 in fines then that week?
Correct.
What did you get? What was your
taxes?
What was your sack? What was your bonus for getting a sack?
Oh, you don't get bonuses for sacks.
Oh.
No. They don't work like that.
Oh, I was hoping you kind of cancelled it out, you know.
No. In fact, when you come to the UK, you actually have to pay an extra tax.
Yeah.
To the Queen.
To the Queen.
And yeah, I think I just about broke even that week.
Playing for the love of the game. Is that what they always make a big thing of? Let's talk about your college careers then. Sebastian, so you go to the University of Houston. When did you start? Were they looking at tight end and then tackle? Was it both in the play early on?
Well, I had some visa issues, so I was kind of late. I missed most of training camp. And then I got there, but there was a newspaper that was called the Daily Cougar. And I was, you know, there was a coaching change, Art Briles came, all those things, and offensive line wasn't too well. And they recruited this monster from the state, I mean, from Germany, right? 6'8", 350 pounds, left tackle, it's going to save us all. First of all, I don't show up. Finally, I get there, right? And I'm spiked hair, tight shirt, messenger bag, 3/4 pants, diesel shoes, 213 pounds. I'm walking in there and like, it's like the music stopped. It's like, what is this? Like, what are you going to do here, boy? And it was bad. But overall, obviously, it worked out well. But it took me a while. I mean,
Did you need to redshirt
to
catch
up? I was light. Like, I think I got to campus and I was 240 pounds. I mean, in college, that's not for an offensive lineman. You're not fucking guys like that. Yep. I mean, it's just not. And then, so my homework was 2 Budweisers and 2 peanut butter and jellies every night. You know, I mean, that was it. Just put in the calories, eat. They traveled me to games just so I could eat the free food, like at the hotel, like the fried chicken and all the time. It's just like, I don't care if you're strong or not, just be fat. Like, just put on
pile it on.
I did that for 2 years. And so I didn't end up starting till my junior year. I played a little bit of tight end, but like I was saying earlier, it was more about, you know, getting the third tackle on the field. Like, I didn't go on routes or anything like that. It was just block that guy.
How far into starting? So you started 25 straight games to end. How far in did you start to allow yourself to think about the NFL? Or was that always kind of feel like something you didn't want to allow yourself to believe was going to happen?
Probably not to the very end. Then I said, okay, you know what, the way it worked out, so I ended up having 2 degrees, but my last class, so I only had 1 class left my last semester, and the professor allowed me to do this online. So that's when I said, okay, I'll go all in. Like, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to, you know, train for this, I'm going to do what I have to do. And, because it's not the alternative was, if I don't get a job, I'm getting kicked out. Like, I'm going back to Germany. So it was either or.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, at first it looked very good, and then I went to one of the All-Star games, had a good performance. I was hoping I would go to the combine. I didn't. My pro day numbers were pretty good. And then I think I had 14 visits with different teams, and then I kind of started.
Yeah.
The Raiders showed some good interest, and then in the end, I was really surprised that the Patriots drafted me so high. I wasn't even there. Like, draft day came. Not a lot of tackles were going off the board, and I was like, okay, that's not going to work the first day. So me and my wife went to a restaurant, like a little sandwich place. I put my phone on the counter, ordered something. Unknown number called. I didn't even see it. My wife, back then girlfriend, but now wife, was like, hey, you might want to pick that up. And it was Bears. I mean, well, it was Bears, but it was Bill's assistant. It was like, yep, hey, we're going to draft you here in a second. And I was like, to go, got to go. And I mean, it's just like life changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you're going to New England, and you're just like, where is New England? Like, I mean, it just life changes
just
pretty quick.
That moment, yeah, you got to work out where you're going. Jack, for you, you obviously went to Penn State on a scholarship. Even when you got there, were you still were you still feeling like you were learning the sport and had loads to learn at that stage?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And you know, lucky enough, the coaches were well aware of that. They knew that they were bringing me in, and I was a project. And you know, the defensive line coach at the time, Larry Johnson Senior, he took me under his wing. And he really taught me the position, playing defensive end. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing in high school. And coming to Penn State, yeah, it was, I actually didn't redshirt. So I ended up playing that first year because we would have the spring workouts before training camp starts. You know, you're there, you're working out with the team, spring ball, all of that. And physically, I was keeping up with the starters.
Right.
So I didn't really have to develop. I developed early, and you know, ultimately, that's what got me the recognition with all these schools. But I was keeping up with them in the workouts, and they actually said the weekend before training camp starts, I was getting out of town. So I left Penn State and I was going back to New Jersey to see the host family I was living with. And they told us specifically that weekend, don't leave town. But I was like, this is the last time I'm going to go and see them because, you know, I wanted to hang out that weekend and I just didn't want to stick around college. Nobody was there. And I'm getting in the car and I'm about to leave campus. It's a 4-hour drive. As I'm getting out of campus, I get a phone call. Joe Paterno calling me, and he goes, "Yeah, could you come to my office?" So I was like, "Oh, if they figured me out, I'm done. They're gonna punish me. They're gonna make me do whatever." I was nervous. He calls me to his office, and he tells me that I've been doing well. And I was like, "All right, cool." And he goes, "But we're actually gonna switch positions. We're gonna switch your position. We're gonna switch you to tight end, because we want you to play this year." Mm. And I was like, that's fine. I, you know, 10 seconds ago, I thought I was going to get a yelling and I thought I was going to get punished.
Yeah, I'll go wherever.
Now, yeah. And then I was like, sure, I'll play whatever position if it's going to get me on the field my first year. So I go back to where my host family live in New Jersey that weekend. And then, you know, I tell them whatever, you know, they want to move me to tight end to play my first year. I come back at the end of the weekend, right as training camp starts. And then Coach Larry Johnson, he comes up to me and goes, don't worry about it. You're not playing tight end. He goes, I got you back. They were like, there's no way they're taking you, you know, from me. And I was like, whatever. I don't care. As long as I'm not in trouble and, you know, I have a chance to play this year, then I'm happy. And, yeah, so I was a tight end for a weekend.
Fantastic.
At home.
Fantastic. We're going to get some more of your questions after this short break on the Neil Reynolds podcast.
This is Jack Crawford, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Hi there, Neil Reynolds podcast listener. I'm Yarick Zaba, and I'm here to tell you about another Highway 61 network series called Broadway to Brazil. Broadway to Brazil takes a close look at the Corinthian Casuals, a side that play in the seventh tier of English football, yet have one of the most rich and significant stories that the game has to offer. In our second series, we've uncovered a whole host of incredible stories. From the day the Brazilian icon Socrates pulled on the pink and brown casual shirt, to the story of Andrew Watson, the first black international footballer, via a bizarre tale of Soviet visitors at the end of the Cold War. All of this and more help to explain why the Corinthian Casuals are a far from typical non-league side. Find Broadway to Brazil on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
We're going to play a little game, actually, now. So you two, don't look at that screen. Just look forward the whole time. I need a couple of people to pair up
with our players. Gentleman in the front, the Jets jersey, and let's have gentleman in the Bears jersey then as well. So come on down. We've got another microphone for you, wherever that's gone. Let's see where Matt is. Here he is. So you can go first. You can go with Jack. Right, so the rules are... Right, so there are going to be, coming up on there, 10 names or football phrases, all right? So you can't say the name of the player or the name you see or the team, but then you've got to describe it. You can mime it, you can describe it, and we're going to see how many you can get. All right, this is very high tech here. I'm going to do it on my phone. That's how we're going to do this. All right, so can you see all those? What's your name, mate? Sorry, I should have... Nick, right. Good luck, Nick. Let me tell you when to start. Jack, you're good?
Yeah.
All right. Nick, your time, you've got a minute. Your time starts. Remember, no names, no team names. Go.
Double doink.
I'm going to need another one. Double doink. The field goal.
Yep, there you go. That's one.
Horrible purple kit.
The Ravens, the Vikings. Horrible purple kit.
You like that?
Huh?
You like that? You like that?
You like that? That's Washington, yes.
You can pass if you need
pass. To. Yeah, pass.
All right, next one.
Monster defensive tackle who destroyed the Bears a few weeks ago.
Who destroyed the Bears?
Defensive end.
Boring helmet.
Defensive
colour.
End. Miles Garrett.
Yep.
Something that you would aim to do.
Sack.
Yeah, a bit more.
Sack the quarterback.
Ball comes out.
Forced fumble. Sack fumble.
Ball comes out. Rip it out.
Oh.
Take your clothes off.
he's back on the roof.
On the rooftop.
Flash.
Flash sack. You're trying to get a
remove
flash
your clothes.
When do you ever
remove
say that?
Remove your clothes. You go to a bar, you pay people money, remove your clothes.
Oh, strip strip force fumble. Or strip sack.
Strip sack. There we go. Yeah. Right.
College players moving into the NFL.
NFL draft.
Yep.
Aaron Donald.
Another horrible player from some cheese-making place in Wisconsin. Where's number 12?
Yeah,
I don't like him.
What? What's that? From Wisconsin. Oh, like yeah. JJ Watt? Nah.
No.
All right, you're out of time. You're out of time. You're out of time. That was Aaron Rodgers. So you passed on Kirk Cousins. You had Miles Garrett, strip sack we got in the end after flash fumble forced. Flash force fumble. Tackle, takedown, sack. So you got five, all right? Five. He's got a microphone. I don't want to touch that, thanks. No offence. No offence. You can have that. right, let's have Sebastian's up then. Same rules, okay? No team names. All right, here we go.
Skip?
Go.
Not the defense, the other side.
Offense.
Yep, when they're grabbing you.
Holding.
Yep.
That's it, we'll give you that one. Offensive holding, yep.
Wow, okay.
Okay, went from the Pats to the Bucks. Just won a Super Bowl.
They can't say those team names. Oh, you're not having that.
Fair enough. Right.
Don't get the up with me. Simple rule.
Keep going.
Okay.
Right, next player. We're not going to give you that one. Next one.
Another player who went eat the... Eat the W. Come on.
Oh, man, you got to get this one.
Oh, come on.
Go back later.
Do that one.
Okay, when your wages are... There's a limit to it.
Nice.
When your wages have a limit.
In the
salary cap.
Yep.
We talked about those blokes who jump on tables with the mustard and the tomato ketchup. Yeah?
Bills.
And
Bills fans.
The mobsters. The mob. The
Bills.
Bills.
Mafia.
Yep. He goes like this.
Spike. Gonk.
Yep. I don't know how to say this one. It's like a little... I wouldn't even know how to...
Hail Mary.
A little insect that jumps.
The what?
A little insect that jumps. A tiny insect that jumps really high.
Cricket.
You know when cats and dogs, they have...
Fleas.
Yep.
Flea flicker.
Yep, yes.
good job.
RPO. Played...
play action.
No, an RPO, he used to do it a lot.
Option.
No. Oh, he's just been released.
Do this.
Just been...
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Yep. Who's there? He lives in Hawaii, does a podcast with him.
Jeff Ramble.
Okay, so can I say not offside, but...
Onside, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not hey, offside,
it doesn't
offside.
Matter, you've already
onside
won.
Onside kick. He's on a roll.
Fantastic, he's won.
No, that was...
Excellent.
That was by far easier than the question.
No, I knew you were looking that way.
What was the guy's name?
So all right,
do we have our prizes out here?
What's...
Shannon, yeah, lovely. Shannon's going to get us some prizes. Where, come back, you both get prizes. No one goes home empty hat. Well, some of you do. Just giving away the Woody NFL's money. There we go. Those have been signed by the fellas and by Maurice Jones-Drew before he went out somewhere else. Cheers.
Thank you.
It was all right, wasn't it?
I blame Nick, man. And Nick was talking. He.
I think you blame a lot of other people.
Right. That's what we do on defense.
The tube is mates.
I'm my family, my friends.
Never your
fault. I mean.
You always pass the blame.
Let's take a couple more questions. Who's got a question for us? Gentleman there, yeah. There won't be a microphone just coming. Just clearing it up.
A question for both of you, one each. Sebastian, did you ever make Bill smile? And Jack, who is your most memorable coach, college, or professional?
Bill's a funny dude. Like,
I'm
mean,
not
you
having that.
You don't want to get yelled at, you know, like in a team setting, that's different. But like personally, I mean, he's a, not that I ever have, but he's a guy you would want to have a beer with, I think. Like he's a, like, he can crack jokes. Like he, you know, he's like sarcastic. I was like, me and Nate, the other tackle, we were both hurt one time. And I think it was in bye week. We had a scrimmage. Well, they had a scrimmage and we were just watching. And, you know, he enjoys, you know, giving you crap for anything, right? Making a point, but in a funny way. And just like, you know, I'm a fine China over here. It's just, you know, he tends to laugh at himself, you know, he likes all that. But he's a fun, he can be funny. He's amusing.
Yeah. And the most memorable coach I've had is a coach by the name of Rod Marinelli. He was the defensive coordinator and defensive line coach at the Dallas Cowboys when I was there. And I owe him a lot of, you know, for my success and for my development as a player. Any player who's played for Rod Marinelli, it's like a brotherhood, it's like a fraternity, because we all stay connected just through the hell that he put us through. And he can't go one sentence without cussing you out. He'll come out with new swear words that you didn't know existed until you're dead tired in practice, getting your butt whooped by an offensive tackle, you know, on one knee, and he'll be cussing you out. He's a very, very military-minded coach. And, he will get something out of you that you didn't know you had inside of you. And he'll, we were dead tired before practice. I mean, he ran us into the ground, but he also kind of helps you see what's inside of you that you may not see yourself.
All right, good stuff. Another question? Anyone else got a question? Gentleman in the front row.
I think I have two, but I'll go with Sebastian first. Seabass, Patriots legend. I know everybody else here is probably not, you know, big Pats fans, but I had to throw that out there.
he's not getting out of here alive. He gets outside.
That was risky. So the Super Bowl win against Seattle, I just want to know how special it was, because obviously the last few years that there was almost an expectancy, you just expected the Pats to win. But that at that period, you know, it'd been a while since a Super Bowl win. Just a general feeling. How would you describe it?
It was special, obviously. So we lost against the Giants, my first Super Bowl in
the 2011 season and 2012. And so when you lose a game like that, like the, I always say, like the confetti comes down, right? But you're the losing team. Like you're fighting your way through. And I mean, it sucks. It's just like everybody's celebrating, just like, well, you know, I'm going home with nothing. I mean, it's just, I mean, I'd rather not make the playoffs essentially than lose the Super Bowl. You're 6 weeks in, right? The other teams are already practicing, they're like training, they have their surgery, and you're just like,
yeah, we're already on the beach.
Like, it doesn't matter. But you already had like 6 weeks, you're already on a rooftop somewhere.
I'm already posting like, Instagram pictures.
Jack's smiling like that sucks. Having to play the Super Bowl.
So when you make it, when you make it back to another one, like you appreciate it so much more, just because you feel like, I mean, I've wasted one chance. I don't know if I'm ever gonna make it back. So when we did, so that was great for me that year. I mean, it was tough. Like I should have had surgery on multiple things, and I chose not to. Just you know, you just grind through it, just like football mentality, and it was fine. Anyway, so we ended up making it, and then the game was so tight, right? So we couldn't stop Marshawn Lynch. We actually thinking we're going to lose, and then with the interception, all of a sudden, like, your mentality changes, right? Like, we're preparing for a two-minute drill, so we have no idea what's going on. So you're talking, and you hear the fans, like, somebody's screaming. But it's a Super Bowl, so it's, like, 50-50-ish, and there are other teams, like other fans, so it kind of doesn't make sense. So you're looking on the field, and it's like, what is going on? Like, you see your guys running, it's like, we won. And it's like, you know, that emotion that goes through. And then, you know, we got in a fight. Like, we had to kneel down. And then, the fight and all that stuff. And then, I don't know, then you're just happy. I mean, I just said. And it was a cool party afterwards. It wasn't at a rooftop, but it was a hotel. It was good.
Rooftop, man. Trust me, you wouldn't have made it out. You wouldn't have. That was Malcolm Butler, right?
Yeah.
It was, yep.
That was incredible. Yep. It was incredible.
Funny guy.
Any more questions? Yep, Stuart.
Hi, Sebastian.
Well, hello.
Hello. I've been blessed, and I speak for everyone here, since 2007, we've had the NFL games come to London. I've missed only one, and the only team we've not had is the Green Bay Packers. But as the news is circulating, Germany's ready for the next installment of the national series. What does it mean to the German people, and what would it mean to you to see the next installment of international series games come to Germany?
I think it's great. A, that's a great question. But also, you know, I feel blessed. Like, we were just at the International Combine, and it was awesome. Like, I think, so the NFL is doing such a great job in giving back. Like I always say, like, football from college, but obviously NFL, has given me so much as a, you know, my family, not only financially, but the experience of what he is talking about. You have memories that last for a lifetime. You know,
education.
I mean, it's so many things that football can teach you and can do for you. So I feel like if we, whoever's involved in this, can give anything back, right? If it's the fan just, you know, watching, I mean, the game wouldn't happen without fans, obviously, can watch it and then make it easier. I mean, for the Germans, I mean, there were probably 10% of the fans at the game were, you know, flying in from Germany, right? Right. So, and I feel like they deserve it. Kind of, and I think it's going to be great. Yeah. I think it's going to be the next step for the like European evolution of that game. Like, I mean, we see it from the viewership, we see it from merchandise sales, like all those things. So Germany is definitely ready, and England has shown. I mean, it's incredible, and I think it can only help the sport and all of us, the entire community, to grow. So yeah. I'm really excited. We're ready to go to
Germany as well. Oh, it's going to be a great weekend.
Great rooftop bars.
It is going to be. Oh, Jack, you coming back? Gosh. Come on,
oh,
Jack.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming,
Jack. Yeah, you'll be there. Jack will be there. Fantastic. Jack will be on the bus. We'll get a bus together.
I'm a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Rooftop.
But it is. They do deserve it. Some of the best nights I ever had. And Henry Hodgson's here as well, who was my old colleague from NFL UK.
Shout out to Henry.
Some of our best nights were covering NFL Europe games in Germany. You know, it's just fantastic.
I don't remember much about them, but they were great.
Yeah, I was on a rooftop.
A rooftop, that's the very best.
I'm a rubbish drinker as well, but I had a good go over in Germany.
We'll figure that one out.
Let's do a little game called Have You Ever? All right, family version, fellas. Jack, for you, have you ever been asked to autograph anything weird by a fan?
Yeah. I have.
Can you tell
us? It was in Dallas, and it was a.
Of course, it was.
It was a veteran. So, you know, whatever they ask, I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And, you know, he just passed me his prosthetic leg, his calf.
It's like, oh, okay.
Calf down. Yeah.
Right.
But when I wasn't paying attention prior to the signing. So
right.
When he passed it to me, obviously there was a split second thinking, all right, well, I'm signing a prosthetic limb. And then I look down and then, you know, but it's for the military. I'll do anything, man.
Do it anything.
Out of
yeah.
respect, you know?
Fantastic. So, good for you.
Yeah, it was definitely the weirdest thing to sign. And he was obviously, you know, it was fun. It was all in you know, fun and jokes. So,
yeah.
It was a laugh, man. And he was signing, asking other players to sign it. And that's definitely the weirdest thing I've been asked to sign outside of that one night on the rooftop.
All right.
I can't. I'm just not family friendly.
I'm going to ask you this one, Sebastian. I hope it wasn't in Buffalo because I've seen some of the things that get thrown on the field in Buffalo. But have you ever had something strange thrown at you from the stands? And if you want me to move on to another question because you can't answer that one, we can.
I'm going on the list. Like, yeah, at what point do we become, you know, kid friendly?
Is it?
I got hit by the battery before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which...
Did you have your helmet on or
not? I did.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's loud. Like, I don't know if you ever played. If you get hit in the helmet with, like, a whistle or anything like that, I mean, yeah. It rings. It's like...
Yeah.
It's the sound of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were some other things that were thrown, especially, like, Philly, Buffalo. Those places have
yeah.
come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And back to you.
Yeah. Throwing it to you, Jack. Jack, have you... so this is, again, high-level journalism from me, so I apologise in advance. Have you ever needed to go to the bathroom during a game?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never...
Gone to the bathroom.
Gone the whole way, yeah. Right. So I've always, for me, so... You know, everybody's got their pre-game routine, and you know, some people take these like pre-workout, like caffeine,
right.
caffeinated supplements. And you know, when you take caffeine, sometimes it can have an effect.
I'm regretting asking this question already.
Apologize. your system, and yeah, like I just remember that we, you know, they didn't have any coffee at the locker room that day. And I remember I didn't get much sleep, and I really need something to pick me up. And one of my teammates had this supplement called C4 in his locker, which is pretty intense. So, well, it was actually C4 Extreme. So anyway, I said I needed something to pick me up, man. I'm on no sleep. I didn't get no sleep last night. I'm just exhausted. I need something to get me going. And so he's like, yeah, sure, just take one scoop of this. And so I take a scoop. Now we hit. Did you used to take any of these supplements?
I took it this morning, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, for you, I mean, German is like, you know, you just, as you take it at night. But yeah, no, we, I remember taking this supplement. And yeah, when halftime came, let's just say that I was the first one back in that locker room.
Fantastic. I'm really surprised. Some of the stories you've told, I'm surprised you played a game on no sleep. I'm absolutely shocked. I can't believe
this
you've done
is
that.
Very common
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
I have sleep problems. Like, I just can't sleep, man. Night before games, my mind just starts, it's like racing, and it's
yeah,
nothing to do
going.
With football at all.
Right.
It's like the craziest, you know, like things running through my head. And then, you know, I mean, typically, and it sounds crazy, but I know you're not. This might be sound crazy to you, but like we might have like a noon game in wherever we're playing in the States, and I might not be in bed. I might not fall asleep till like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I just can't sleep
before the game. Wow!
Before the game, I don't know what it is, but I remember a game where I had close to zero sleep, and I remember like I was nervous before the game started. I'm talking to my teammates, man. I had no sleep, man. I was like, I've had no sleep. I felt like as soon as I hit somebody, I'm going to end up 10 yards in the backfield or something. They're just going to, like, knock me over. And I ended up having, like, a sack, forced fumble,
yeah.
two TFL. It was my best game ever. And then I tried it again the next week, and let's just say, yeah, that was it. Wasn't so a good superstition to have.
So different. You're up all night, and Bill's going around switching all the robots off at 10 o'clock. It's like,
did you have curfew?
Yeah, we had curfew, but I like curfew. I was in the room before curfew. I just couldn't.
Just couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep. I was trying it, but I couldn't do it. And so I'd get up and just start stretching and. Yeah.
Keep going. Sebastian, one for you. Have you ever forgotten the snap count or a play once you're up at the line of scrimmage? And what's that feeling like if you have?
All the time. And it's terrible. I mean, it's that panic sets in. But it's not like you forget. It's like, so the snap count, you do forget all the time.
Yep.
I mean, the play call is so long, right? So many things you gotta worry about. Then you have an alert. So you have two of those. Sometimes you have three, right? Then you got to figure out, you know, is he lined up in a, is it, you know, a four eyes, is it a three, is this a whatever, right? So you got to get the formation right. Then Tom is talking to you, he's making a mic point, and it's like, oh, shoot, what just happened? And then normally not that big of a deal, right? Because they're code words. Sometimes you just, like, look at him, and I'm not going to give it away what it is, but, like, he tells you without telling the defense what it is. Or you just, you know, go to your guard, or was a tackle, go to your guard, hey, what is it? And then he gives you that code word.
That's the best.
So it's not that big of a deal. But then you start playing with them, right? So you do that a couple times, and then you call a screen, right? And then you pretend you don't know. And it's like, hey, what was it again? Is that Hut? And he starts rushing, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then you go behind him. It's like you want him to rush. You want him to feel like he beat you, and those things happen. And then if you forget, so sometimes you forget not the first play, but the alert, right? So the second play when he audibles, right? Everybody's seen, you know, Tom or whoever do like alert, alert. So it's like the second play that doesn't work against the defense. We anticipated something different. You might forget that, but it's, again, on the line, really not that big of a deal if you have a little bit of time because there's so many guys you can talk to. For the receiver, that would suck because he's like, see, like, they're doing this and Tom might not, whoever might not see him. And then, well, you just see him there, like, kind of jogging down the field. It's like, I'm going to go this way. And, but as a lineman, you kind of figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. And there's some defensive linemen who can pick this stuff up. So right. They're listening to everything the offense is saying. Yeah.
Well, Ray Lewis started that.
Yeah.
We played him, I think, in the playoffs, and he essentially destroyed us. Yeah. But he gave an interview afterwards and said he was watching the TV copy and figured out our code words. Like, he was matching what we're saying to the picture and all that stuff. Yeah. And then when the centers started becoming mic'd up so you could hear everything.
Yeah.
And that's when we started installing, like, life colors. You know, like gold, red, and blue and all that stuff. Yeah. So you would try to keep it hidden.
You guys have touched on your NFL careers pretty much all through the night. So I just got one question each for you on your careers. And Jack, we kind of touched on this on Sunday when we were out at Tottenham Stadium and you were talking about always feeling like you were behind. Because I think I asked you about, you know, kind of how have you stayed in the NFL for 10 years? Maybe tell us about that feeling and how that, I guess, fear helped you keep going to where you are now.
It was probably one of my biggest attributes was starting late. Because I always felt like I was playing catch up. From the beginning, I didn't know football terminology. I didn't know all the rules to the game. And I didn't know offensive plays. I just didn't know the responsibilities of all the positions on the field. And the coaches over there, my college coach over there and high school coach, took the approach of they just taught me my position. They just taught me exactly what I needed to do and where I needed to go on that specific play. And, you know, that was the extent of what I knew. So even up until, I would say, I mean, honestly, even up until last year, I always had the mentality of I had to learn more to keep up. And, I mean, obviously by last year, which my ninth year, I was comfortable in the sport, but that behavioral trait, that characteristic was inside of me by that point. But coming from England and starting late, I did what I had to do to catch up and excel amongst the competition, which were the other guys around me competing for a job. And, playing catch up was definitely one of the things that helped me stay in the league so long.
Sebastian, for you, at the end, when you've been an All-Pro, you've been a two-time Super Bowl champion. Did you start to think about doing TV? Because now you work on TV in Germany. So I had a couple of things I wanted to ask you. Whether you felt about that as you were coming to the end of your career, and also, obviously, you clearly have dropped a lot of your playing weight. You just didn't want to stay at that weight, right, as an offensive lineman. You didn't feel you needed to.
Yeah, I was 35 pounds. And, I mean, I was a guy that had 12 surgeries, you know, back, shoulder, hip, broke my leg a bunch of times. And just being that big, right? I'm tall anyway, so being that big, like, width-wise, and you can't fit on an airplane, and, you know, you hit your head anyway, so at least, you know, don't hit your hips anywhere. So that was, like, the first thing. And I finished my career on IR, which, you know, a curse and a blessing, but to me, I just used that year, really, you know, to get in shape, use the weight, get healthy, hit the surgeries, all those things. And then I wanted to be there, like, just started during that time to be a father, and for me, you know, it was time for me to get out. It was kind of winding down, but my body was starting to break down, and, you know, I probably could have pushed another couple of years, but, you know, at some point, that's probably the decision you got to make, and it's just worth it. And in that moment for me, I felt like I'd done everything I could have, you know, reached in my career.
Yeah.
And I was fine with it. I still feel blessed, and I don't, you know, regret, like, walking away. I mean, we all have to stop at some point. And then first question.
You enjoy the TV stuff?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I mean, all of it. I think any which way former players can help the game grow, if that's through commentating, if that's through business adventures, if this is through podcasts, whatever it is, I feel like the game deserves our support. And I also feel like the fans, especially like in Europe, might be a little harsh here, but I think they could benefit just from knowing the sport and then can make a decision, hey, do I like this or not? But a lot of them just haven't even been exposed. And to me, it's such a great sport that, hey, at least this is what it is. You might like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, just to build off of that, I think the sport deserves our fans.
Yeah.
I think that the English fans and the European fans bring a different aspect to the sport that doesn't exist right now.
Yep.
And exactly what Sebastian was saying, the sport has done so much for us. Mm. It's given us so much that there's people here, there's kids out here, and, you know, we want to get them the same experience. You want to pass it forward, man. You want to see somebody just shatter every, you know, break every record and pass every accomplishment that you've done. And, I think that, you know, it's going to happen, and this is the place.
Absolutely. Let's take one more question. Anyone got one more question for the guys just to finish up this evening? Are we all out of questions? They did it fun. Here we go.
Oh, my friend from the roof.
Oh, we'll go with you.
You mentioned it a bit briefly before about the international combine. I wanted to ask, were you both there, and what did you think of the talent you saw?
We were both there. I thought it was great. Like, it felt real. I don't know if that makes sense. When I started, I didn't have a combine to go to. Not in high school, but also not when college I wasn't invited. But, you know,
I was. That's not important.
That's just rub it in. But I thought the talent was good. There were definitely a couple of players that were standing out and they just looked apart, right? And I think, so he was telling the story of mine. Right. It's very similar. You certainly need coaching, right? But a lot of Americans need that. Like, there's a difference between high school, college, and obviously from college to the pros. And yeah, they're going to need some coaching, but they're athletic. They are just as well built, and they have the same strength and all the attributes you need to be successful. And some of them we're going to see next year, I believe.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what he said. It was as soon as I walked in and I saw some of these guys, they looked NFL ready. They definitely looked the part. You know, the rest will come later. But what I learned from this combine being there was that they exist here in England and in Europe and in Africa and wherever they've come from. They're out here. We just got to find them.
All right. Good stuff. Fellas, thank you so much for your time tonight. Ladies and gents, I've got a couple of announcements afterwards, but first of all, please give it up for Jack Crawford and Sebastian Vollmer. So thank you for coming. Please, if you haven't tried it, try the Neil Reynolds podcast on NFL Game Pass. You can watch all the episodes as well. This one will be put up as a special once we put Gary to work, get him to put that up. If you asked a question tonight, and I'm hoping my maths is right because we don't have an endless supply of them, but if you asked a question tonight, can you come and see me over to the side? Because we've got a little prize for you. And also, for everyone else, the shop is staying open for 30 minutes. The shop will stay open. If you want to get yourself your stuff ahead of the game this weekend, beat the rush. That's my advice. So, yeah, come and see me over at the side if you asked a question. But again, really appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us this evening. Thank you very much. To the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.